All right, welcome to another edition of the Friar Phil Show. And the theme of the show today is Know Your Enemy. Now, who do you think our enemy is if we're talking Padres baseball? I'll tell you in just a moment. Now, there was a guy named Sun Tzu, and he wrote a book called The Art of War. And this is a quote from his book. He says, "If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will suffer defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle." So this year I decided to do something different, even though I'm losing my voice again today. We'll try to soldier through. I have somebody that is a Dodger fan coming on the program. And let's just stop it right now. You know, I don't need to see on Twitter, "You're a Dodger lover," and any of that bullshit. Because if I see that, I'll block you immediately. What I want to do today is get an idea of what's happening with the Dodgers so we know what we're facing. We know what we have with our team, but we have to know what's going on with our enemy, the enemy team, which in this case is the Dodgers, because we're going to fight for first place. So don't give me grief, okay? Please, I don't need the grief. And just try and listen to the program with an open mind. Okay, and that being said, the young man that I have on today is named Sam Shearer. He is a Dodger fan. Oh my God, Friar Phil is a Dodger fan on. Yeah, I do. If you don't like it, don't listen to the program this week. Okay, simple as that. And we just reviewed some of the rules about this as well. So anyhow, he does a really good job with a website he has. He calls it Dodgers Debrief. It's a daily debrief on all things Dodgers. And the reason we're talking to him today is so we can get a feel as Padres fans what's up with the Dodgers and what we might need to look out for when we're playing them. Because I have no idea what they've done during the off season, aside from reading Sam's writings on his blog here, on his website, which is very, very good. If you're a Dodgers fan, I encourage you to read it. It's well written, and it's better than some of the professional writers I've seen. So without any further ado, here's Sam. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Friar Phil. How's it going?
Okay, except for my voice. But what can you do?
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate the kind words about my site. So, yeah, just trying to, interact with other Dodger fans and let people know what's going on. And I'm really excited to be here today.
I want you to start off with telling me a little bit about yourself, you know, how you got interested in baseball. Have you always been a Dodgers fan? What prompted you? You gave a little bit about that a minute ago about why you write the Dodgers debrief, but just kind of a short bio, if you will.
Sure. So I'm from the East Coast, so kind of when a lot of people hear I'm a Dodgers fan, they're kind of surprised. It's been something that's been in my family since the Dodgers were, they were kind of a local team when they played in Brooklyn for us kind of in the Northeast. So we kind of stayed loyal when they moved to Los Angeles. So it's kind of been something that's passed down through my family. Like, that's really cool. And I wasn't super into baseball for a while, but back during the 2017 playoff run, I kind of got interested. I started watching the games. I kind of just fell in love with the sport and the game. So I've been a diehard fan, ever since then. And, obviously a lot of people out here are not, super into the Dodgers, and a lot of people my age aren't super into baseball in general. So I started, I got on social media to try and talk about Dodgers. I got kind of, a decent following, and decided to start a website and YouTube channel to kind of just, share my thoughts on the Dodgers and interact with their fans, and it's been really a great experience.
It seems like it. I've enjoyed what I've done. I'm from New York, too, by the way, from the East Coast. Nice. You can tell with certain words like water or coffee. Yeah. I need a cup of coffee. The first thing I want to ask you concerning the Dodgers is last year, and I'm seeing some of it this year, Dodger fans seem to have a big freaking problem with Manny Machado, and I don't understand what the problem is. Well, he's slow, or he did this or that. What exactly happened with Manny Machado when he was a Dodger to make so many Dodger fans pissed off with him?
You know, that's a really interesting thing, because personally, I don't have a problem with him at all. I know a ton of Dodger fans do. I think they're mad. Obviously, we didn't win in 2018 when we traded for him, and I think he played like he didn't play at the level he was playing for Baltimore before he got traded with us, but he played it. You know, he's still really, really valuable. I don't think we would get to the World Series without him. And there were a few incidents in the playoffs where he would do, you know, he would slide into a bag and it would clip another player. And I didn't really have an issue with it, but I think, and no one did at the time. Everyone loved him at the time, I think. But then, you know, we don't win the World Series. He strikes out for the final out. I think it makes him, I forgot about this. In game three of the World Series, he hit what he thought was a home run, and it ended up being a single because he wasn't running and watching it, and it went off the wall. And I think that bugged people a lot because it was, you know, a tie game. We could have won that. I guess that kind of thing, I don't think it would have made that much of a difference if he'd been, you know, at second base instead of first. That kind of stuff doesn't really bother me. But I think he became an easy scapegoat for failure in 2018. And, then he went and signed with a division rival, which, you know, doesn't help anything at all. And I think, we were never going to keep him, and I think most fans knew that because we were just kind of waiting out Seager's injury. But I think it's still kind of everything kind of mounted together made him an easy scapegoat, an easy kind of villain for Dodgers fans. But I think that's unfortunate because he did play well for us, and he's a really talented player.
Just so many snowflakes in baseball fandom these days. I mean, it used to be, you know, you slide into second base with spikes up, and either the second baseman or the shortstop either jumps up, gets the hell out of the way, or gets a spike in his ass. And that's how it used to be. You know, that's how the game used to be played, with that toughness and stuff. Now we're so worried about, he slid wrong or he did this. The only thing with sliding that pisses me off is head first sliding.
Yeah, that's a really easy way to get injured.
Yeah, and Tatis does that with the Padres. And that's something. Well, if I was the manager, if I was Jay Stengler, I'd tell them, I'm going to fine you $5,000 every time you slide into a bag head first.
I know Betts does that for us as well. And it's like, there's the two of them are such talented base runners and players that they're probably not going to get hurt. But it just, I don't know if it's a whole lot more efficient, and it seems to up the risk of injury a lot.
Yeah, it does. And that's the last thing we need is more injury, because last year, again, Dodgers fans, maybe not yourself, but plenty of Dodgers fans had their chest puffed out, you know, even before they won the World Series. And, you know, had to make comments about the Padres fans celebrating and all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, I thought, you know, on some level I could understand it, but on another level it was kind of ridiculous because it wasn't really a fair matchup. We lost two of our starters. Right. And we were trying to do bullpen games, you know. And we made it as far as playing the Dodgers. What would have happened if we had the team we have this year playing now?
That would be a serious series with Snell and Darvish as well. That would be a really good five-game series. I think, you know, the way I kind of see it with that NLDS was, you know, if the Padres, neither team hit a ton, but I think our pitching was pretty much, we didn't have any major injuries, and we held the Padres to pretty good, pretty low offensive standards, considering how great an offense that is. So I think the Dodgers would have still taken it with Lamet and Clevenger healthy, but it would have been 4 or 5 for sure. It would not have been sweep at all.
Right, because the scores were very close on some of the games.
Yeah, that game too was brutal with the Bellinger catch, and then the Joe Kelly came in and walked the Machado and Tatis, and then oh my gosh,
I couldn't believe the Bellinger. I just wanted to go to the stadium, rip his balls off, and shove him down his nose when he made that catch. But then you sit back, and as a realistic fan, you think, holy shit, he made that catch.
Yeah, that was
something else.
Yeah, that was crazy because watching him, I didn't like the matchup with Gratterall and Tatis because Gratterall throws so hard. You know, he's really good, but at the same time, he's already giving a ton of power to Tatis, who can hit it a ton. So it's almost, I kind of thought that might happen where he's going to almost hit it out. But when the ball left the bat, like I just wasn't worried. Just like watching Bellinger go back, like he looked as though he had it the whole way, and I think that's like just a blessing of how good a player he is, and it's such. Like, I'm just looking forward to a lot more stuff like that this year with Dodgers, Padres, and like the heated matchups. It's going to be great.
Oh, it sure is. Now, in your opinion, what did the Dodgers need to do on the offseason? Did they do it? What have they done to improve the team? Kind of a short synopsis of your article reviewing the Dodgers offseason so far that you wrote in January.
Sure. So I think for most of the offseason, they hadn't done a ton. They re-signed Blake Treinen, which I thought was important because he can pitch a ton. And when he's good, you know, he's good. So that was a good offseason. That was a good piece to have back. They made a few high upside moves with trading for Corey Knebel and re-signing Brandon Morrow, who pitched for us in 2017 and was great, but has been hurt a lot. So they made a lot of moves like that they usually do where they find pitchers who are cheap and they think they can get really good stuff out of. So I would have been fine if they just done that going in, but I needed I needed them to re-sign Justin Turner. I thought that was incredibly important because he brings just so much to the team. He's still an elite hitter, and you know the defense is going down, but obviously we'll have the DH, if not maybe still this year, pretty soon. So that was okay with me. Just like when he's in the lineup, the team plays so much better. They have better at bats. They make fewer errors. And if he's such an important figure in that club.
You know, we have that dynamic with the Padres, too. We saw that when Tatis was first playing with the club, and he was doing good, and the team was doing good. But then he got injured and left, and it's just like all the wind came out of the sails.
Right.
And like everybody was in a collective depression, you know, just going up to the plate. I guess I'll swing at another ball. Kind of attitude, you know, that spark wasn't there. And that's what Machado and Tatis brings to the team, along with a couple of other guys as well. That spark and that desire to win. And one of the things I said during the playoffs last year was the Padres need to start playing like a winning championship team. They need to start playing like the Dodgers with that same mentality, the we can kind of thing. Do you find that with the Dodgers, that they have that we can mentality, and does that help them win games and ultimately win series?
Absolutely. I think that's just something that comes with experience. And, you know, the Dodgers have experienced a ton of postseason failure, and a lot of it has been, you know, some of it has been they haven't hit the playoffs. They started taking bad at-bats. You know, they've had, bad luck, bad managing. It's kind of a lot of stuff has gone wrong. And I think when that kind of thing happens, you're used to the stage feels a little less big and there's a little bit less pressure because, you know, you've been there before. You've experienced the worst case scenario, and you're just confident in how good your team is this time around. And I think we saw that. I think Mookie Betts brought a ton of that kind of level-headedness and just kind of professionalism. You know, he started finding guys in spring training for making errors and stuff like that. So it was still kept like a casual, fun clubhouse, but it wasn't super like almost too relaxed. Like I think sometimes they've been a little overconfident. So I think that was a really good combination of, you know, fun and looseness while also, you know, believing in themselves and playing like, as you say, kind of like a winning team, a team that has like a ton of backbone and resilience. And I think we saw that a few times with them in the postseason when things were bad when they were down in the NLCS to the Braves, and after that insane game four of the World Series, they came back and started winning.
Do you think some of that overconfidence was what hindered them in seasons before the 2020 season, where they would get there almost, but just couldn't win the prize for 32 years?
I think it's so hard to know, obviously, because you're not there, but I think it has sometimes. I think a lot of the times on the offensive side, they take, you know, their at-bats get worse in the playoffs, start chasing pitches and stuff. I think they're just not, they either get in their heads or they just aren't playing as well. And I think, especially last year in game five of the NLDS, like, the Dodgers were winning a ton, but they didn't score after the first two innings. And when we blew the lead, suddenly there was kind of nothing happening. And I think they were just, really confident in that sense, and almost to a point where they weren't able to grind out at bats like we saw this year. And I think that's something that Betts in particular brought to the team.
So, as a Dodger fan, who do you think the Padres need to worry about with the Dodger team that's going to be on the field starting? Did they start today, their spring training, or are they starting tomorrow?
No, they're starting tomorrow.
Yeah, so are we. We're playing Seattle.
I think we've got maybe Oakland. I'm not sure, but that's a really good question, because the team is so loaded. That's a tough question, but I think just the level of depth on the team, that there's not really an easy out in the lineup. But I think if you have to choose somebody, I think obviously Mookie Betts is just the guy you can't let get on base, because he will, even if he's not hitting a home run or something, he will he'll steal two bases and then get home on a grounder, or he'll make like an insane play in right field. Just kind of stuff like that. Like, he just does everything incredibly well. So I think obviously that's something that we see. It's kind of a similar thing to Tatis, where that's the guy on the Padres I don't want anywhere near. I don't want him on the bases. I don't want any play involving him, because he's just going to do something incredibly annoying from my side.
Any other Padre that you hear Dodger fans worrying about?
I think some of the Machado hate comes from that. I think because he was very good against us in 2019, when the Padres were pretty bad, but he was always hitting against us. I think Dinelson Lamet terrifies me. Because if he's healthy this year, I mean, he is going to, I think he could easily contend for a Cy Young. I thought he should have played higher last year.
Yeah. Let's just hope his arm is healed and we'll be able to use him. The other one this year is Clevinger.
Right.
He'll be healing himself all season long, and the next season, hopefully, we'll have him in the rotation. So what we've done over the offseason has been amazing. I mean, A.J. Preller is something else. And even as a Dodger fan, you've got to tip your caps to this guy that goes out and gets, he gets Hugh Darvish. And not only gets him, but gets his catcher, too.
that was a kind of underrated, I don't think Caratini will make a huge difference on the offensive side, but I think if he just even catches Darvish and elevates him to a sense, like the personal catcher thing, like, that's overlooked a lot. I think that's a really important piece of it, and we saw that a lot with just making kind of a comparison here with the Dodgers in the playoffs and Clayton Kershaw and Austin Barnes. Like, the difference in the numbers, it's real. Like, the personal catcher, just like the level of comfort and conviction there, like, is really important. So I agree that that's a really important move as well.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so as well. Trying to think of another question. I just went blank. Not good to do on the radio or on a podcast, going blank. It makes you seem like a special person. Anybody on the Dodgers on the injured list at all that won't be playing this season? Or
not really. So we had a reliever last year, Caleb Ferguson, who broke out and was terrific. He was a lefty. He's still really young, so he got hurt. I think he was actually pitching against the Padres in a game last year. He got hurt. He's getting Tommy John surgery, so he'll be out for the year. And we also signed over from the Yankees, Tommy Canley, a right-handed relief pitcher, who will be maybe coming back in September. He had Tommy John surgery, but we got him to a two-year deal. So that's kind of a 2022 move, but he might be coming back.
Yeah, he came over from the Yankees, didn't he?
Yeah. nobody, I think, super important right now, at least, luckily, is on the injured list. But I think Joe Kelly is dealing with something. But again, he's not that great. Right. So I'm not too worried about that.
Right. Have you been to Dodger Stadium at all?
I have. I went a few years once. My family took a trip to Los Angeles. It was like it was incredible. It's really beautiful, and I'd love to. I think sometime get to go again pretty soon because you want to be there.
You're not located in L.A. then?
No.
Well, that's good. You don't have to smell the smog.
Yeah.
We have nice fresh air down here in San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego's beautiful. So is Petco Park.
It really is. Petco Park's amazing. Stuff like that. You know, I've never been to Dodger Stadium either. I haven't really been up to L.A. for much of anything. And one of these days I'm going to have to go just to see it, from the historical point of view, before they tear that down and build another Dodger Stadium.
Yeah,
I wasn't old enough to be there when Ebbets Field was taken down.
Right.
I wasn't even existing at that point. I didn't exist until 1963, so I guess I could have been up in the clouds and watching it, but...
Yeah, but even from, it's kind of like as a baseball fan, like kind of even like a bucket list thing to do, and especially if you could go and see the Padres play there, it'd be pretty cool.
Oh, I know. I'm kicking around whether or not I'm going to get a membership this year. It all depends on my physical health and a couple of other factors, but this is going to be a special year. Now,
for sure.
We're not going to tuck tail and run like we did last year in some of the games with the Dodgers. We're going to be a formidable club that are going to play the hell out of the games when we play the Dodgers. They already have that mindset. The attitude in the clubhouse has that attitude of, we can win and we're going to, and tough shit if you don't like it,
But
then again, I'm sure the Dodgers are like that too.
Yeah, I think they're less open and aggressive about it. And I don't have an issue with how the Padres play, but I think they're more, not traditionally professional, but more kind of, a little bit more like a well-oiled machine, where the Padres are kind of like a fun, almost like force to be reckoned with. And I think that's a really cool dynamic between the two teams. And we saw that a lot with the Padres last year. Things would get kind of fiery. And it's so good for the game of baseball, especially to get kind of, have a team that always just plays exciting games. They're always like jumping out of the dugout with every pitch, every at-bat. Like, that's so great.
Yeah, because that's, as a fan, that's what you want to see. You're at a ball game, if you want to sit there for 3 hours and have not much going on, you might as well just go watch televised golf,
Because I would watch if the Dodgers had played earlier, if they weren't playing, or I'd have the Padres game on at the same time, because they're such like an interesting team. Obviously, I'm trying to watch they win or lose because I'm worried about late in that summer the division title, but it's such an interesting team to watch, and they got good broadcasters, which really helps a lot. I think just makes everything seem like very exciting.
Yeah, we've got great broadcasters both on radio and on television. We're really, really fortunate in San Diego to have them, because they just make the broadcast fun. If you're not there, they make it seem like you're there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I think Dodgers... I think Dodgers and Padres have like some of the best broadcasters in baseball, and I think that helps a lot with the rivalry, because a good call can really make a moment like that much more special, and you remember it and kind of drive. It just infuses so much more passion into the game.
And the Dodgers had a famous broadcaster that recently retired.
Right, and I think it was hard for a lot of fans to kind of like accept our new broadcaster, but I think he's so good. Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser are so good that it's kind of, he's not trying to replace Vin Scully in that sense, but it's kind of, it's a different thing, but it's so good that we're really fortunate to have somebody like Scully retire and just get replaced by such another good broadcast team.
Our main guy, Ted Leitner, is retired now, and he won't be doing the games anymore. The replacement is the color guy that he had been working with, and I'm looking forward to that. And Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to be doing the radio
well.
I tell you, every time I hear Tony Gwynn Jr., I hear his father.
Yeah.
It's just so eerie.
Yeah, that's cool.
What can you do? Just tune in, I guess. All right. I'm running out of questions, so is there anything you'd like to tell me about the Dodgers that you think a Padres fan should know?
I don't know. I think the team is pretty similar to what you saw last year. I mean, obviously they added Trevor Bauer, but I think that'll help a lot on the field, as he's a personality. I don't agree with some of the stuff he does or says, but if he pitches well and doesn't create problems in the clubhouse, that doesn't bother me really. But I think a lot of stuff will depend on how well the Padres can hit kind of that starting rotation of what I think is going to be Kershaw, Bueller, Price, Urias, and Bauer. I think will be the starting five for most of the season. Padres, and Tatis especially, seems to struggle against us. And when I say that, it's compared to how well he plays
against
everyone else. He's still, terrifying to face. But I think to see how Bauer does against the Padres, and as well as how Snell and Darvish do against the Dodgers, will be kind of very crucial in deciding records and maybe even the division.
Right.
Because I think Snell, his ceiling, I think, is what we saw in Game 6 of the World Series. He hasn't been that good throughout his career, and he does tend to taper off at the end of games. So I think if he can figure out how to get through the lineup better a third time through the order and keep us off balance and have all his pitches working, he's going to be a real problem.
Yeah. Could be a real problem. That's a good way to put it. Do you like the manager?
I do. I think sometimes he makes decisions with the bullpen that really make me scratch my head. But he's gotten better throughout his career at it. But I do think he still has room for improvement. And I think he's unparalleled at running like a really good clubhouse and keeping everything loose. But at the same time, as I was talking about earlier, kind of still professional. And if they feel like a winning team, I think getting a lot of the times, especially in previous years, the Dodgers would platoon players a lot, and I think getting guys to buy into that, especially veterans who might no longer be able to hit certain types of pitching, is really important. And getting pitchers to buy into the plan of not pitching as much as they might want to keep them healthy for October is a really important skill that he has. And I also think that he managed in the playoffs generally well. I thought he managed Game 4 of the World Series poorly, but again, that was like just an insane game. But I think, and then he managed Games 5 and 6 like incredibly well with the bullpen. So I think overall, yes, I do like him, but he does sometimes do things that drive me insane, as I think all managers do.
Ting Ding does it too. But I tell you what, our manager is a hell of a lot better than Andy Green. I couldn't stand him. I mean, I would be on fire every night after a game after the dumbass things he would do doing my videos. And it's nice having a decent manager now. All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was saying, I think I was definitely, Tingler seems good. I didn't like what he said after Tatis hit 3-0 home run, where he was saying, they had Tatis apologize and saying you shouldn't do that. But obviously that was kind of, he's a young manager and that was early in the season.
Yeah.
But I think in general, he seems like the culture that you see, like just in the dugout and stuff, I think that shows kind of just his like managing style. And I thought he did a good job with what he was given in the playoffs, getting you guys through the Cardinals and, keeping at least a pretty competitive for a lot of, at least during the games with the Dodgers. Like I thought he did a good job running the bullpen games with at least what he had.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I've been impressed with him, and I really have no complaints. We'll see what happens this season, but so far, not a complaint about Jace Tingler. All right, now, I ask every guest that I have on, do you have any kind of special baseball story you can tell me? Like, for instance, my special story is going to the 1969 World Series with the Mets, and my father took me there for one of the playoff games. Or was it a playoff? Or I can't remember if it was a playoff or the World Series games. I was only 6 years old. And unfortunately, I can't ask my father now because he died in 2001. Unless I get like Miss Cleo here or some kind of seance going. But do you have a special baseball story?
I don't know if something stands out in particular. But the last baseball game I went to in 2017, I think it was, they played the Mets in New York, so we were able to get to that game. And, you know, they got down early, but they then came back and started hitting a bunch of homers and stuff. And just kind of really, that's kind of something that kind of sparked my interest in baseball. Because, you know, I was a casual Dodgers fan before. You know, I'd wear Dodgers stuff
right
occasionally. And, you know, I rooted for them. But that was kind of a really cool experience. That kind of, I think, sparked my interest. Seeing, like, them come back and stuff like that was really awesome. And just, I guess, that 2017 playoff run, just watching them kind of get into it and fail, I think kind of really built a relationship for me with the team, and I came really invested in them.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, they won the World Series last year. They don't need to do it again this year. I think my Padres need to win it, but that's a long way until October. I'm happy that we're going to have a full season this year.
Me too. Yeah.
And some fans will be allowed into the park. According to the Padres, a mailer that I got in the email, members, I believe, will be allowed in the park starting April 1st with our first home game. But yeah, that might change. You know, things are going to change quickly with this COVID situation.
Yeah.
And I think, and you know, the bottom line is, as much as we like baseball and like going to the parks and stuff like that, you got to protect your health, you know, protect other people from you as well.
Right. And I think I saw the same kind of thing for the Dodgers. Our home opener isn't the same as opening day, but I think they are going to plan to have fans there. But hopefully that can work, because I think I didn't notice how weird it was without fans until we got some in the NLCS in the World Series. But it makes, I think, especially for the players also, just as a sense of kind of normalcy that is really important.
Yeah, it is. I think it's important. The crowd can energize a team.
Right.
Or a crowd can bring a team down.
Right. And I think just even seeing a full crowd in Petco Park with one of those crazy comebacks the Padres would have. I remember there was a game against Seattle that I watched where they scored maybe like 5 runs in the 9th inning or something. And Myers hit a walk-off home run, and just seeing that with a crowd is like just really like it would be really cool. I think that kind of thing with this exciting Padres team.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, I appreciate you stopping by on the telephone and spending a little time with me. I'm sorry I've gone blank a couple of times, but it's really hard to do this, you know, and talk about another team.
Right, no,
because I have absolutely no knowledge of it whatsoever, you know, aside from what I've read on your site. Oh, by the way, give out your website so people can find you and your Twitter handle.
Sure. So I am on Twitter, Sam_Scherer99. That's Sam_Scherer99. And my website is DodgersDebrief.com. That's DodgersDebrief.com. So just DodgersAndDebrief.com.
All right. Sounds good. And if my Padres fans don't kill me after they hear this, I'll touch base with you again during the season, and we'll see how your Dodgers are doing compared to my Padres.
All right, that sounds great. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks again, and good talking to you.
Good to talk to you, too.
Bye-bye. What a nice kid, huh? What a nice young man, and knowledgeable, and not your typical Dodger fan, you know, that's pompous, a big blowhard. he's a nice kid. And seriously, if you're a Dodgers fan, read his articles. They are very good, very informative, and something I think you should take a look at. All right, next week we'll have a real serious podcast. I may have somebody on with me, I'm not sure, but we're going to be talking about one thing and, well, a couple of things, actually, but we're going to talk about American idiots on Twitter.